the circus. It can only mean one thing, Bricks. You know what that one thing is?
I do.
What is it?
New York Jets camp.
New York Jets camp. Absolutely right. They will open their preseason schedule tomorrow night with a game against the Bengals, and that is if the team hasn't devoured each themselves before then.
The Jets-Bengals is a perfect... Because the Jets are becoming the Bengals. They're a joke. They take too many risks with high-risk, low-reward players that just don't pan out. They're dysfunctional. They're fighting all the time. And Bruce Jacobs, 104.5 the team, 3-7, game on with Bruce Jacobs, said yesterday, everybody fights in camp. You know, it happens everywhere.
Nobody has a bench-clearing brawl in the stands.
Nobody has two bench-clearing brawls near all the fans.
I watched the first one, dude. It was in the stands. Like, they're in the first three rows of fans.
There are fights where a guy says, you know, F you, and then they get pushed a couple times. And maybe a guy tears his own helmet off, and then it gets broken up by the rest of the team. There aren't usually fights where that same thing happens, and then the rest of the team comes in, not to break it up, but to participate in said brawl.
That's, that scene in Major League 2, where the Indians get into a brawl with themselves, is supposed to be, like, comical.
Right.
It's because it doesn't happen. It's not supposed to be taken, you know, ripped. It's not supposed to be ripped from the headlines. It's not Law and Order.
It's like Malice from the Palace, the Jets training camp.
It's absurd.
It's so bad. And I heard Tim Tebow had a good day of practice yesterday. Good for him.
Oh, great. Was he like 1-for-4?
He probably didn't even pass the ball if he had a good day. Just ran.
That's a shame. I really like Tim Tebow.
How fast is Tim Tebow? Realistically.
He's got to have some speed.
Because everybody, you know, you keep hearing, well, he'd be a great running. I don't think he'd be a great running back.
No.
If he didn't have the threat that he might throw a wobbly ball, he doesn't look that. He's very good at hitting holes and being patient behind his blocking.
Tim Tebow's great at hitting holes.
Yeah, well, that depends on the hole.
Hello.
We were talking about football. It was a football comment related to the field.
I wasn't sure. I'm sorry.
But unless he follows blockers well, he's hard to tackle, but he's not explosive. You never see Tim Tebow break a 68-yard runoff. The guy can only get you 12 to 15 yards because everybody can catch up to him.
He is the slowest juke move in the world. Like it's not so much a juke as it is a slight turn to the left.
He's Mike Allstott.
Yeah, that's probably right.
He's hard to tackle. He can run forward. He's got a great motor.
He's probably got Mike Allstott's arm too.
Yeah,
this is a real shame for me because the Jets make it so easy to make fun of both the Jets and Tebow, and I love Tebow. Like it was me and Skip Bayless driving that bandwagon last year because I was so in love with Tebow and everything that he did, but he goes to the Jets, a team that I hate because of their jackass coach. And their whole ridiculous structure. And now it takes all the fun out of being a Tebow fan.
Right.
And they make it too easy to make fun of him.
Your other problem is one of the reasons, you know, you hate Tim. And Giants fans say, whatever, we win Super Bowls. We don't want the back pages. But when you win Super Bowls, it's nice having your team on the back page. That's where they deserve to be.
You kind of want to bask in that glow.
But then, you know, the mimic franchise of, you know, like the Jets, the reason that you hate them because they do all this stupid stuff. Well, one of the stupid things that they did for attention is take the guy that you like in Tim Tebow and try to throw him behind the sensitive Mark Sanchez.
Do you buy for a second that move was done entirely as an X and O thing?
No, it was not totally,
but it had a hell of a lot to do with generating headlines.
I would say it was more about... And listen, it worked. ESPN's got Sal Palantonio there. Hannah Storm
is
there.
How long are they going to be there?
The whole camp. I mean, it's terrible. If you watch ESPN, if you watch SportsCenter, it's Jets Camp Center. It looks like you're watching... They're there more... There's more Jets coverage on SportsCenter than there is on SNY, which is partially... One of the three teams that they get paid to cover is the New York Jets.
It's become like this vicious circle with the Jets where, you know, they fight, they make a story, it's negative, the more stories, negativity, and negativity begets more negativity. Antonio Cromartie came out and said he's the second best receiver on the Jets.
Antonio Cromartie probably is the second best receiver
on
the New York Jets.
And here, judging his family tree, I thought he was more of a distributor. If you get what I'm... Hey, yo.
Oh, man, that was actually pretty funny.
But like, it's just it's such a mess. They are such a mess.
What's frustrating about the coverage of Jets camp is that, in my opinion, they have a cakewalk of a schedule. If you look up their schedule, it's very easy. It starts out a little bit difficult, but the second half of that schedule is a dream. Mm-hmm. But aside from that advantage, I don't think they're a very good team. I think that they're a sub 500, maybe an 8-8 squad. So again, it's sitting here like,
let's be honest.
Yeah, HBO is covering the Dolphins. You got Hard Knocks Volume 2 in the coverage of the Jets that they got on
ESPN's own Hard Knocks.
And I'm sitting here like, show me Packers camp. Show me Giants camp.
You're right.
Show me the Saints. I mean, I got enough of the Saints with the Bounty Gate, but show me good teams.
You're right. If you're the Jets, you're in a passing league, and you've got Santonio Holmes, who's a head case, and then a vast collection of number four wide receivers. You got nothing there. But you hold to this ground and pound identity that you're going to run the ball. And I'm sorry, Sean Green is the guy. Sean Green.
If you're going to do
that, that's the guy.
I'm not huge on trading up a lot of assets to move up in the draft, but the Jets do it. They do it relatively often. Mm-hmm. If that's your philosophy and you want to be a ground and pound team,
yeah,
and you bring in Tony Sperano to run this ridiculous offense, first of all, you're the only ground and pound team left. I mean, it's
you got one guy left who thinks that running the ball is the way to go.
You're the journalist using the typewriter right now. All right, everybody else, the league is designed for passing. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but it's true.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you need to get Trent Richardson. You need to trade up for that
man.
Guy.
Sean Green, that's the guy.
What have you
heard
from Quentin Coples, by the way?
Sean Green.
I mean, you don't have a legitimate running attack yet. You want to be the most successful running team. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you want to drive really, really fast, get a nice car.
don't hop in your Hummer and decide.
If you want to drive to get to work, well, get a practical, functional car. If you want the running game to be good, to be stellar, to be solid, Sean Green can do that. If you want to be ground and pound, and this is our identity, and this is what we're going to do,
you're right.
You need a better running back.
Sean Green is a Dodge Dart. He'll get you there, but he's not going to ever do anything spectacular.
Yeah, and listen, again, not bashing Sean Green. Sean Green is fine. I would take Sean Green on my team. He's functional.
But he can't be the centerpiece of your offense, which is what you're trying to do.
Exactly. If you're going to throw the ball 60 times a game, you better upgrade from Blaine Gabbert.
And what's,
if you're going to run the
worse,
ball 60 times a game.
And what's worse, I don't think, you know, I think they revel in all of it. They revel in this this ridiculous persona that they've built for themselves, and that's
the most annoying thing. And I feel bad.
It's a puzzling offseason.
I feel bad for Jets fans because, first of all, Jet fan loved the beginning of the Rex Ryan era. They had never got, because I mean,
they've
you got
to get tired.
Prior to Rex Ryan, you're sitting here. You know, nobody talks about the Jets. I'm a Mets fan. You really like the occasional time that the Mets are news over the Yankees. That's the situation with the Jets. But now, if you're a Jets fan, you're sitting here justifying and arguing for a team, and at the bottom in your heart of hearts,
you know it's just
you know
a
they're
mess.
Doing
it's a
gimmicks.
Total dumpster.
You're
fire.
Sitting here telling me Tim Tebow's a great player and he's a good asset, and we only got him because he can do a lot to the he can bring a lot to the a lot of guys bring yeah. a lot to the offense. And I'm not saying it's Tebow's fault that the media follows around. We're going to get actually circle around with Lolo Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not his fault
no,
that the media circus
that
comes
was
with
often
him.
My point last year is that this is not Tebow's fault.
As Jet management, you have to know and you have to really truly weigh, is the circus around Tim Tebow worth
right.
the 8 to 10 snaps he can get you 5 yards per on
and that,
in a
that's
game.
The point. It's just it's the Jets make it so easy. It's been such a puzzling offseason for them. Then again, the most puzzling offseason move I think all season was made in this past week when the Seattle Seahawks go out and get none other than Terrell Owens.
Yeah, that's stupid.
What a terrible! You've got like your entire offense is based around like a quarterback competition between like six guys who are not really that good. And who probably all have confidence issues because they're young. So let's bring in a guy that Jeff Garcia and like Donovan McNabb and Tony Romo couldn't handle in Terrell Owens.
It's
what a friggin'.
Listen, maybe T.O. comes in with his head, and he probably is at first. He needs the money. He loves the attention.
Right.
He loves the fame. He can't move away from the game. He's isolated himself. I'm sure Terrell Owens thought when he retired. He would be sitting on the Sunday Night Football pregame set. He would be an ESPN analyst. I don't think he realized that people don't want anything to do with the guy. He's a public figure because he was elite.
The Allen he couldn't do junk for the Allen Wranglers. You think he's going to come in and be great in the NFL?
I mean, he might be functional.
You could take Victor Cruz right now and put him at center on the Allen Wranglers, and I feel like Cruz could carry the Wranglers to whatever friggin' title you win in that podunk league.
Yeah.
And Owens got kicked out because he's a junk.
Right, but you could be a diva on the Wranglers because you can just say to everybody, I'm Terrell Owens.
You could be a diva on the Seahawks. Who's there on the Seahawks?
First of all, you have Matt. The number one thing that the Seahawks need to do is name Matt Flynn your starting quarterback. You're paying him starting quarterback money. Quarterback controversy is not good. Quarterback competition is all right. If Tavares Jackson's making great reps and Flynn struggles through the first 3 to 4 games, maybe you bring in. But I know what Tavares Jackson is. You know what Tavares Jackson is. The only team that can't defense Tavares Jackson is the New York Giants. But he ran all over the Giants last year.
Well, that and Charlie Whitehurst.
He's also beat the Giants a couple times when he was with the Minnesota Vikings as well. But you got to name Matt Flynn your starting quarterback. You have to end that controversy. And then if you bring in Terrell Owens, you know, at least Matt Flynn has the confidence.
See, but
he can approach Terrell and say, listen, I'm the starter. You're a veteran.
That'll be great. Maybe he'd be fine until they're 1-6 and Golden Tate's getting all the looks. And then T.O. stages a massive freakout, and somehow your 1-6 season just got worse.
That's your problem. You're not a good enough team to bring in Terrell and say, listen, man, if you're not involved, you're not involved. Because if you lose and you lose and you lose, and Owens gets 1 catch, 2 catch, 3 catch, you know, he's going to say, listen, give me the ball more, look at the result. And you can say, listen, Terrell, you're
Owens
not getting
passed
open.
That even if they're winning and he's getting 1 catch, 2 catch, 1 catch, he's still going to be, God forbid the Seahawks are relevant and Owens isn't getting the looks. It'll be a friggin' nightmare for them.
Yeah, I think it's going to turn into a situation like Chad Ochocinco in New England where he's not productive, he doesn't do anything well. They keep him around. He's in Seattle. It's not like he's getting huge press and headlines in Seattle. And then, you know, he basically fades into nothing. That team sucks. He's a story because ESPN thinks it's a story, you know, for the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. And by the end, it fades away.
You mark my words, man. In 3 months, we're going to be watching B-roll of Terrell Owens doing push-ups in his rain-soaked driveway in Seattle.
I don't think so.
We'll come back. We'll get into the Olympics. Two guys, one mic.